Hey, Wanted by None listeners, thanks for tuning in and joining us. We'll dive into the episode in just a minute, but first, are you a fan of young adult fiction and looking to read something from a new, exciting author? If so, head on over to Amazon and get a copy of Smashing by M. Constantine. If you love the Hunger Games series or the Divergent series, you'll love Smashing. Get it now through Amazon as an ebook for the Kindle or Kindle app, or get it as a paperback for only $12.99. And now, Wanted by None.
It's a podcast, and we made it just for fun, but it's wanted, wanted by none.
I've been dealing with people talking to me about Brad Marchand and his licking.
Yeah, I guess all I'll say about it briefly is that to be as comically outplayed and outcoached as they have been, they being the Bruins, pronouns, the licking is starting to become embarrassing and it's starting to look stupid. And I don't know if it's just this is how I'm dealing with them being wiped off the planet in this playoff series against Tampa. I just want it to be over now. And I'm sick of seeing Brad Marchand lick people. It's stupid. It's childish. It's infantile. It's weird. And if he's not careful, they're going to punish him. And it's a bad look. It's a stupid look. Stop doing it. Stop.
It is. It has nothing to do with his, I was just thinking about this yesterday. When we talk about Brad Marchand's legacy, this is going to be
his legacy is creating a punishment so people don't lick each other. It's the stupidest thing on the planet.
Ridiculous.
I hate it.
He's an all-star player. He's a Stanley Cup champion. He's an aggravator like no one else. But is the licking necessary?
No, and that's the frustration with Marchand is that he doesn't need to do it. He's just being an idiot. And it's a stupid look. I keep coming back to there's a very good chance that at the end of this evening, they are going to be home for the summer. And the look you're going to remember is him licking Ryan Callahan, which is just dumb. I hate it. I can't say enough how much I hate it. And I'm just ready for this to be over at this point because not only have they been outcoached and outplayed, the games themselves have sucked.
Yeah, exactly.
They are horribly officiated, and the games themselves have not been good. The Toronto series aesthetically was a much better series, and I know I'm saying that.
Agreed.
For a guy whose team won the Toronto series 4-3. But I got to tell you, I've seen every game they played against Tampa in this playoffs, even the games they won, the games have sucked. They're terrible to watch. And when you watch the Vegas-San Jose series, when you watch Nashville and the Y2 Jets, I have avoided the Washington-Pittsburgh series because, frankly, both teams could be hit by a meteor and I would not be disappointed. I can't stand either team. I don't care who wins that series. When I have seen the other series around in hockey, those games are so much better to watch than the Bruins-Tampa. That series is terrible.
I think the Nashville-Winnipeg series is my favorite of the bunch.
Yeah, that's the most competitive, certainly.
That's the most interesting to me.
Yeah.
I don't really care who wins Pittsburgh-Washington. Vegas is a great story.
Vegas is my backup team. My parents instilled in me before the Boston sports renaissance that if I was going to be a sports fan, I needed to come up with a secondary team in each sport to root for. And they didn't care if it was a permanent one or some sort of rotating basis. So I have adopted Vegas as my backup hockey team. I love the idea of a hockey team in Las Vegas. I went to Las Vegas for the first time last summer and I loved it. I actually went by the arena, T-Mobile, which is right on the strip near the MGM Grand. And they were just getting ready for the season to start. They were going to have a grand opening of their team store and all that. So I really like, I think Vegas is a great story, obviously. Expansion team in their first season. I like their coach. I like the whole story. I'm rooting for Vegas unabashedly in the hockey playoffs because I don't think the Bruins are making it. I don't think the Bruins win today. Even if they do, I don't like their chances winning three straight games, two in Tampa. Not the way they've been playing and what we've seen. So my backup team is Vegas. Go Vegas. Go Golden Knights.
I would love to see Vegas win. My backup is Winnipeg. They have just been so exciting.
The Y2 Jets?
Yeah. That fan base, just they deserve it.
Well, it's a Canadian fan base, so they're rabid.
Well, it's the only thing they have.
It really is. If you've ever know or anything about Winnipeg, it's not like a thriving metropolis. I should also say, for the benefit of people listening, the Winnipeg hockey team is called the Winnipeg Jets. I'm calling them the Y2 Jets because arguably one of their most famous residents is the great professional wrestler Chris Jericho, also sometimes called Y2J. So the Instagram hashtag, the Twitter hashtag that people have been using for Winnipeg in hockey has been the Y2 Jets because Chris Jericho has kind of become their celebrity fan, as well he should. He's probably the most famous, at least right now, he's probably the most famous person to ever come out of Winnipeg. So that is why I'm calling them the Y2 Jets. As Sean is aware, and I'm sure this will be a podcast topic for another day, one of my favorite wrestlers all time is Chris Jericho. And I'm a Jericho-holic from the early days of Chris Jericho's American television debut. So if I call the Winnipeg Jets the Y2 Jets, that's why.
I mean, it writes itself.
Yes, it does.
Anything else that come out of Winnipeg that's worthwhile and notable?
Yeah. Ice, snow, cold.
I was in such a terrible mood yesterday after watching game 4.
See, here's Sean's problem, folks. Sean is a Patriots fan, New England Patriots fan, and a Boston Bruins fan, and that's where it stops and ends. I am a fan of all four major sports, so the Celtics have a 3-0 lead on the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm very happy today. I hesitate to say I don't care what happens with the Bruins, but let's just say I don't care what happens with the Bruins.
You've accepted the fact that they are not coming out of the series.
Nope. Not a chance in hell. I mean, I've been proven wrong before.
True. Anything can happen, but I mean,
yeah, no.
It is not. It is definitely not in their favor.
Nope. To do what you're talking about, they win today in Tampa. They come home in 2 days and win here, and then they go back to Tampa for Game 7 and win.
They have a 37.9% chance of winning this game this afternoon.
That's not great.
No. That's not good. You look at the other series today, is Vegas Sharks. Sharks have a 52.8% chance of winning. That's how close that margin is.
Well, the series is what, 3-2 Vegas, right?
Yeah.
The Sharks have been in all of those games.
Except for the first one.
Yeah. But I mean, by and large, the Sharks have been in this series.
The other two series, again, the margins are just, they could go either way.
Yeah.
The Bruins are pretty much counted out of this thing.
Yeah.
At this point. And they were at the start of the playoffs. And for much of the regular season, I'm going, we're turning into a sports podcast now.
No, their odds were high.
Their odds, they were the second favorites
to
win the cup behind Winnipeg, believe it or not.
I'm glad I didn't go to Vegas and put all my money on the Bruins.
They are now dead last in terms of chances to win.
Well, yeah, because there's a very good chance that today
they're not going to make it through
today. The party's over.
They're not going to make it through today. Tampa Bay Lightning is actually now favorited.
To win the cup?
To win the cup.
Give me a break.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
I'm still looking at Winnipeg or Vegas. Who knows? Vegas has surprised me, pretty much everybody, all their entire inaugural season.
Yep.
So
I'm rooting for Vegas. I've any interest I have in the NHL from this point on to the end of the playoffs is Vegas.
Yeah.
Well, look.
Well, now I'm sad again.
Hey, look, go Celtics. The team has been decimated with injuries and bad luck, and they are one win away from the conference finals. So the agony and the ecstasy on Causeway Street here in Boston.
Yeah, tell me about it.
Also, I would argue, hey, training camp is right around the corner. It's May. We got 60 days to training camp. Football will be here before you know it. Training camp is right around the corner. Well, welcome to the show, everyone.
Yeah.
Welcome to Wanted by None, Episode 2, and they said it wouldn't last.
I'm Sean Beecham. I'm here with my partner in pod, Jeff Garoni.
Pleasure to be here in my own apartment. We are here for episode 2. Nobody, including ourselves, thought we'd make it this far. So
I know this is a milestone.
To all of you listening, we appreciate your time and your listening. We really, really do. We hope you'll be equally as enthralled with this episode as you were with episode 1. So, Sean, if memory serves, what you would like to talk about today, at least in the onset, is DC's big announcement for this week.
Yeah, so we're new to this. We're still sort of developing what the show could be. So we're going to mess around with format a little bit. But this week, some things happened. And we talked last time a lot about the things that DC is doing wrong. So we kind of got on their case a little bit there. And I just wanted to point out...
Justifiably so, I might add.
Yeah, absolutely. I just wanted to point out a couple of things that have been announced since we last convened, probably to their benefit. The first thing is they've titled and created a launch page for their online streaming service, which, the news, DC has an online streaming service.
2018, folks.
If you don't have an online streaming service in 2018, I don't know what you're waiting for.
Well, we don't have an online streaming service.
It just seems like that's the thing everyone's doing now. I mean, you be the content creator and distributor.
Why pay somebody else to distribute your content when you can do it yourself?
Exactly. But it also allows them to do whatever they want. And they've announced a couple of shows for this thing. A couple of animated series, Harley Quinn.
Is Harley Quinn animated or live action?
It's animated.
I'm already disinterested.
I find it, yeah. See, here's the thing. Margot Robbie played Harley Quinn famously in Suicide Squad.
She was the best part of Suicide Squad.
She was the best part of Suicide Squad. And I mean,
by far. Margot Robbie, great friend of the show.
If you think about that movie, that is probably the first image that comes into your brain is Margot Robbie and her performance there. But the character was invented for Batman the Animated Series.
Yes.
So it came out of the animated realm, and it kind of makes sense that they would go back to doing an animated series with Harley Quinn in a way. I don't know who's going to voice Harley Quinn.
To be announced, I guess.
I believe it was Arlene Sorkin.
For the animated series. I believe you're right. We could get our fact checkers working on that. Wait, we don't have any fact checkers. We're our own fact checkers.
I mean, animated series circa 1990.
Yeah.
Two, three, something like that. I get the sense that she probably won't do it again. They're probably going to want to bring in someone new. Who knows? We'll see.
Right.
You never know. The other animated series that they're doing, which I don't know anything about, is Young Justice.
There wasn't a lot. As you said, it was a launch page. And a Twitter account and things like that with some basic information that this is what was coming soon. There's no release date. There's no nothing. But yeah, I believe it's Young Justice, right?
Young Justice, yeah.
Okay.
Whatever that means.
Sure.
That's the other animated one. But then there's a couple of live action ones as well. Titans.
Yep.
The live action adaptation of Teen Titans.
Which could be interesting.
They're going to have Robin. They're going to have, you know, all the Beast Boy and... I think they're also going to have a couple of lesser known characters. A couple of images have circled around. Hawk and Dove are characters.
Oh.
They've posted costume photos for those two characters. I think we've seen Robin's costume
previously.
It looks fantastic. So I'm intrigued by Titans.
As am I. I'm more interested in that than I am in the animated Harley Quinn show.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Young Justice.
And whatever Young
that
Justice is.
It sounds like a failed 1980s wrestling stable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Next week, live, Young Justice. Okay.
But the I think, strangely enough, in 2018, the biggest news is the live-action Swamp Thing series that they're developing with James Wan as executive producer.
I believe he's doing Aquaman.
He's also doing
Coming
Aquaman.
This December.
He did Furious 7.
Yeah, he did one of a couple of the Fast and the Furious movies, yeah.
But I think for this, I'm picturing he has ties with some horror films.
Ah.
So I am thinking Swamp Thing is going to be more of that.
Yeah, speed. It's more of the Vertigo.
Yeah. So that has.
Yeah, that'll be
that intriguing. Has raised some eyebrows.
That'll be intriguing. People will watch that.
Swamp Thing, 2018.
Right.
Everything that's old is new again.
Yeah.
What else did DC do? Oh, your favorite, your best buddy, Steven Spielberg.
Well, actually, there is one. Before we jump to the films, let's talk about the show they announced months ago for the streaming service that they have now delayed, which is Metropolis.
Oh, you're right.
The Superman show that let's all just wait a beat. The Superman show that won't have Superman. I'm not making this up.
Unlike, this is not the other Superman show without Superman. Krypton.
Which I need to start watching. I haven't, I've heard good things and I'm going to start. Yeah. Sci-fi on demand. I'm told all the episodes are there. So it's a long summer. So
one can only hope it doesn't go the way of Gotham on Fox.
God, I hate Gotham.
Which is it is just atrocious.
Yeah, I don't like
Gotham. I DVR the thing and I'm like a season and a half behind because I just can't bring myself.
Oh, I stopped after season one. I was bored, stupid. I could care less about a Batman show that doesn't have Batman in it. You know, here's the thing to kind of tie in the DC TV stuff. Am I going to buy the DC Universe thing? Probably. Am I going to watch Swamp Thing? Probably. It's not my favorite, but probably. You know, Titans intrigues me.
Is Swamp Thing anyone's favorite?
No.
I mean, again, 2018.
And if you say you are, you're a liar. I just, the Metropolis thing, I'd give it a look, but it seems like it could be really boring, not unlike Gotham. But now I'm told Metropolis has been delayed. They're going to go back to the drawing board with Metropolis.
That's probably for the best.
Yeah, I think we're all in favor of that. So I'm sure as time goes on, we will talk more here about DC Universe, certainly about price and when it launches and things like that. What Sean was alluding to just now, Steven Spielberg has announced that one of his next movie projects is going to be Black Hawk.
Yeah.
And I can't remember if it's Black Hawks or Black Hawk.
I'm sure it will change. I think here's the thing with Black Hawk, and I don't know a whole lot about Black Hawk.
Neither do I. I mean, I know what everybody knows through a cursory Wikipedia search.
Yeah. So Black Hawk is a character and leader of a squadron called Black Hawk Squadron. So
sweet.
So I'm imagining this thing takes place in World War II.
I believe you're right.
Here's the thing I found interesting when I was doing a little bit of research on Black Hawk, though. There's a Flashpoint timeline where Hal Jordan is a member of the Black Hawk Squadron, which is comprised of ace pilots. So I pose to you, Jeff,
God almighty.
Is this a way to backdoor connect
Green Lantern?
Green Lantern, the Flashpoint movie that is no longer called Flashpoint, and the entire DC extended universe, dare I say it. DC learned their lesson or not? They will tell you no, it's not connected. Because right now, they claim to have abandoned it.
All they've said is Steven Spielberg. I mean, all anybody has said about Black Hawk is that it's on Steven Spielberg's radar. So, I don't know. That would be great. Here's what I would say is that would be great.
It could be.
The scenario you laid out, that'd be great. I just don't know. I mean, I guess, I don't know. And, you know, I want to say one thing or the other, but...
We don't know.
In six months, I might contradict myself, but so what? So... What I would say is I'd love that. I think it'd be great. Hey, anything to make Steven Spielberg a part of your universe, right? If you're Marvel, if you're DC, if you're whoever.
Yeah.
You want to be in the Steven Spielberg business. Do I think that's how it's going to end up? Probably not. I've heard so many different things about whether this is actually a coherent universe anymore or not. Coherent universe being DC, the film stuff. I don't know. It seems to go back and forth as to whether they're sticking with this is all one story or this is all one universe or this is blah, 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 blah. So I don't know. I think more will certainly come out as time goes on. It's not the next movie that Spielberg is doing.
No.
The next movie Spielberg is doing, I can tell you, is Indiana Jones 5. That starts shooting next spring in London. So with Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones. This is the last Harrison Ford Indiana Jones movie. So he's got to do that first. And then after that, you know, see where they are. I mean, I'm sure he's going to get to Black Hawk eventually, whether it's part of a connected DC plan or not. Well, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited for any Steven Spielberg movie. So I'd see Black Hawk.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Steven Spielberg, he can't suck, right?
Nah. No.
Did you see Ready Player One?
Not yet. I'm going to see it when it comes on demand.
I have not seen it either, obviously.
I've heard good things. I've heard good things.
Yeah,
me too. From people who've read the book. I never read the book. I think we also have to talk about Infinity War briefly. We spent a lot of time on Marvel, and I don't want to... We're not. I don't want this to become just the Marvel podcast every week.
Yeah.
It's just they make news every week. I can't. That they make news every week is. I don't know what to tell you.
Don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, except to say, I think we all know now, Infinity War is a huge, massive success, which everybody predicted.
It made $1 billion in 11 days,
which is the fastest time to $1 billion in movie history. And it is the number one domestic box office opening of all time. It edged out Force Awakens ever so briefly. And I loved the letter that Lucasfilm posted on social media this week with the lightsaber being handed to Iron Man's hand.
Oh, yeah.
That was really clever of Lucasfilm. That was very clever.
That reminded me of, if you remember way back, and this is before I was born, so me saying that is kind of silly, but when Star Wars outgrossed Jaws, a very similar letter went around.
Yeah. They also did when, and Lucas did something similar when Titanic passed Star Wars. He sent a nice thing to James Cameron about, you know, the boats and all that. So it was a classy thing. It's a big week for Marvel. Huge. I mean, obviously this is the reason they moved it to April. They wanted, on top of releasing it on the same day around the world, except for a few markets like China and stuff. You know, this is what they wanted to do and they did it. The machine, the Goliath, just marches on, just crushing everything. I certainly didn't think Rampage, the Dwayne Johnson film based on the video game, would be anything special. But Dwayne is probably the biggest movie star on the planet. Just his name alone now is worth quite a bit of money to movie studios. They're dying to have his name on it. Rampage dropped something like 70% last week because of the Avengers. I mean, Marvel is just so big and so strong that there's very little there's very little they can't do. So, I mean, kudos to them. I saw it last week. It was quite the experience to see in the cinema theater. Can't wait to see it again at home. I will tell you that I have listened to our first show, so I'd like to correct myself on a few things. Without spoiling it for people, for those of you who've seen it and you've heard episode one, you know what I was wrong about, and I will cop to being wrong. I will also say, though, remember, folks, there's another half to go. This time next year, Avengers 4, and until there's a title, I'm going to call it Avengers 4, is going to complete the circle. So we do have a little bit of a ways to go, but I thought it was an excellent movie. It was dynamite. It packed a real punch. There was real weight. There were real stakes. I will tell you, the theater was quiet when it was exiting. It was quite silent. We were all kind of processing what we had seen. If you haven't seen Infinity War yet, shame on you. Go out and do it. It's completely worth it.
I'm feeling that shame right now.
Yeah, as well you should. The other thing I want to talk about that I saw this morning, Fandango this weekend announced that Solo, a Star Wars story, whose tickets went on sale Friday for May the 4th, which was very clever, it is tracking as the number 2 pre-sale of the year right behind Infinity War.
Yeah, which...
I am stunned by.
I saw this too. They've claimed that it doubled Black Panther's advance ticket sales.
Which I am stunned by.
Within 24 hours. And I was thinking about this last night too, because I was up watching SNL.
Yeah, I haven't seen... I'm going to watch SNL later. I didn't get a chance to this morning.
Yeah, okay.
Busier than
you probably know that Donald Glover hosted.
And he was the musical guest, right?
And he was also the musical guest, Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino.
I find Donald Glover fascinating.
He's an interesting guy. Donald Glover, great friend of the show.
I got to talk to you about Donald Glover a bit because...
Please do. I love Donald.
Maybe a little bit over 10 years ago, I remember him having a web comedy series called Derek Comedy. And it was like the stupidest early internet kind of junk that you could imagine, but it was funny. And from there, he started writing for 30 Rock.
That's when I my first interaction with him was 30 Rock, and I didn't know it, but 30 Rock.
Yeah. So hello, Donald Glover. But on SNL, and I jotted a couple notes down because I wanted to mention this because it led me to looking at Solo.
Indeed.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Donald Glover is in Solo as a young Lando Calrissian,
which I'm very excited for.
He seems to have the look. He seems to, in all the dialogue I've seen, seems to be spot on.
I don't know how to, you could believe that he would be Billy Dee Williams like 40 years younger.
Yeah.
Like it's, the resemblance is there between Donald Glover and the very handsome, very suave Billy Dee Williams.
It is on point. They had a sketch last night though, and I won't tell you everything that happened because he did really well on SNL.
He's very funny. I'm not surprised.
He was hilarious. His musical performances were fantastic. He actually dropped a new song/music video during really? SNL and then performed the song as his second act.
God bless him. I mean, that's talent.
Incredible. They did a sketch at a hotel banquet hall on Naboo. And
that's funny.
Lando was hosting a convention of sorts for all of the black humans in the galaxy because he thought he was the only one.
Yeah.
And they sent out all these invitations and everything, and they planned for about a couple thousand people. It pans to the banquet hall and there's four. Because as any sci-fi fan knows, the black population in sci-fi is grossly...
Well, the galaxy far, far away is certainly, as somebody once said, it's a very monochromatic rainbow. So,
to steal a line from his sketch last night, there's a lot of lizards and vests, not a lot of black people.
That's very true.
It was so good. Anyway, Kenan Thompson was obviously in the sketch.
I love Kenan Thompson. I really do.
He's a riot. He was in the sketch. He was... Saw Gerrera.
Oh.
Who Forrest Whitaker played in Rogue One.
Rogue One. And I think he's in Rebels. I think he's in Star Wars.
Oh, maybe,
Rebels.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, I have it on the DVR. I'm going to watch it later on today. I'm looking forward to it. As a longtime watcher of SNL, I will tell you that at this point in time for SNL, their success or failure every week is almost solely dependent on who the host is. In my opinion.
Yes.
The cast as assembled right now, aside from Kate McKinnon, and I love Saturday Night Live, and I've watched Saturday Night Live for most of my life. Aside from Kate McKinnon, there is no one who can take a mediocre sketch and just, through their sheer talent, make it better just by being in it. Will Ferrell could do that. Mike Myers could do that. Dana Carvey could do that, among many others. Dan Aykroyd could do that. But this cast right now, short of Kate McKinnon, nobody can do that.
I don't get the sense, I don't watch SNL a whole lot anymore, but I don't get the sense that this cast is quite up to par with their improv skills.
I would agree with that.
They seem very scripted, stick to the script kind of bunch, which all those people that you just mentioned, those are improv people.
Yes.
Except
for Dana.
They can take their situation and bring it wherever they want.
I would say, though, the weeks that show seems to soar seem to be weeks where either the host is legitimately a funny person, it's a comedian, or they get lucky and somebody's funnier than they think they are. Or somebody is funny than you think they are. Hence, we talked about Gal Gadot last week.
Yes.
I watched Gal Gadot Saturday Night Live. It was much better than I thought it would be. She didn't strike me as somebody who would be super funny. She is, as it turns out. She was very good. Jennifer Lawrence was another one who she had done Saturday Night Live, I think, twice now. And both times, she's killed it. As it turns out, Jennifer Lawrence is very funny. John Hamm is devastatingly funny. He's another one. You shouldn't be that talented, that funny, and that handsome. You could be 2 out of 3, John, but you can't be all three. John Hamm, great friend of the show. Would love to have John Hamm on anytime. I love Mad Men. But if the show stinks lately, it's the host stinks with it. The host isn't funny and they can't carry it. That this show was good is not a surprise to me because Donald Glover is one of those people who can take mediocre and make it great.
I'm pretty sure he was in every sketch. And
I would put him in every sketch. I don't know what you're doing with Donald Glover unless he's in every sketch.
Yeah, they were all pretty good. I mean, some better than others, obviously. But
the success and failure rate on that show is...
They're all pretty good.
They don't care about that. Yeah, I'm not surprised. I mean, Donald Glover, a lot of his 30 Rock stuff is very funny. He was very funny on Community. I haven't watched Atlanta, but, you know, heard good things. And when they cast him as Lando, I was like, oh, that's phenomenal casting. That's great. So I was just stunned.
That could be the best casting in the movie.
Well, they took Han, they made Han Solo an unknown actor. So anyway, I think what stunned me was there is so much bad about this movie that's out there that people have seen.
And it's still, yeah, and it still sold as many advanced ticket sales as it did.
The directors got fired. They've said the lead guy isn't that great. There's been all kinds of, Disney itself isn't sure that they really want to like put the real weight of the company behind this movie. And it's the number two pre-seller so far. Again, I don't want to go on to Jeff was right, but I told Disney last week in episode one, everything is fine. You're not where you think you are. You're in a much better position. Again, I don't want to say Jeff was right, but let's just say Jeff was right. This is the strength of Star Wars. The fan base wants this stuff badly. So
I thought about that too. I was like, I don't remember.
I'm going in a couple weeks. I've already, my parents are avid, believe it or not, my parents are avid Star Wars people. And that's partly how I ended up the way I ended up, obviously. But I didn't think they were the least bit interested based on their reaction to the Super Bowl trailer. And that may have been the Super Bowl didn't go the way that the Patriots fans among us, my parents included, wanted it to. But last week they were like, when are we going to see Solo? And I was like, oh, well, I guess we'll figure that out. I mean, I had planned to go see it and I was going to drag my very supportive wife with me, but
God bless
my
you.
Parents want to go. My aunt is super excited. And she was like, when are we going? Well, get the seats, get the tickets. So in the next couple of days, I'm going to log on and figure out when we're going to Solo. But, I'm stunned. I mean, first of all, good for Disney. And as a very small shareholder in the Walt Disney Company, I'd like to thank all of you for your support. And, you know, may the fourth be with you right on and all that, right? Am I right, people? Up top. You know, thank you. But I'm stunned that the movie is tracking this high. I'm shocked. And again, I just want to say to Disney, remember what I told you. It only has to be better than you think, and it's a win. And if it is better than you think, Ron Howard may be a genius.
At this point, I don't think it matters if it's better or worse than they think, because they've already sold tickets.
Well, because they got the money in your pocket. Well, but if the movie's going to have legs, it has to last beyond weekend one.
Sure.
So if it somehow can last beyond weekend one, Ron Howard may be a better... I mean, I think sometimes people... don't maybe give Ron Howard the credit for being the good director that he is, which is shameful considering some of the great movies that Ron Howard has directed. Splash is great. Apollo 13 is great. A Beautiful Mind is excellent. Like the race car movie he did with Hemsworth, Rush, yeah. About the Formula One driver. I don't know anything about Formula One. I thought Rush was excellent. It was an excellent movie. And I'm a sucker for Frost Nixon because I love Michael Sheen. Mm. You know, Ron Howard is a really good director. And if he can make Solo somehow a viable film, meaning it makes some money beyond weekend one, that would be something. And I want to come back to our Star Wars conversation from episode one. There was a lot of sadness, I thought, from Disney people after Last Jedi, because I don't think they expected the negativity to hit them so quick and so hard. Guys, people want this stuff. They really, really do. There is a palpable demand for this brand. There's very few things out there that have a strong brand like Star Wars. There's very few. And as, again, somebody who's not just a Disney stockholder, but a Disney lover and goes to the theme parks, I mean, Star Wars is everywhere, but nobody's, to my knowledge, nobody's complaining about it. I'm going to Disney in November with my in-laws. And one of the things we are doing, they have a Star Wars fireworks show, as the closing event for one of the theme parks in the evening. There's a Star Wars fireworks and there's laser projections and then there's shots of the film up on buildings. Around this 15-minute firework presentation, Disney has built a dessert party. I don't think you and I have talked about this, but this is legit. This is what my brother-in-law, my wife, and my brother-in-law's girlfriend and I are going to do one of the nights we're in Disney for...
Like an ice cream social.
For $79 a person. $79. We are going to go to the section of the park that's Star Wars themed. Thankfully, inside and air-conditioned for at least part of this. If you've ever been to Florida, it can get humid and hot. So... Thankfully, air conditioned. There's no seats, but there are cocktail tables. And it is a dessert party. They have cupcakes and cookies and all kinds of desserts. They have a few picky, savory foods. They have soda and water and alcohol. And that goes on for about an hour before the fireworks. 15 minutes before the fireworks come on, the stormtroopers escort you out of the party area.
Oh, my God.
You get a Star Wars souvenir on the way out, and you get a priority viewing spot for the fireworks and the show. And I got to tell you, I can't wait to do this. I'm very excited. Reservations have not opened yet. Probably they'll open sometime over the summer because we're going in November. But this is part of what Disney has done. And I got to tell you, these things sell out. Like, people are paying $60, $70 a pop to get cupcakes that look like Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And some soda and some water. And a Chewbacca souvenir mug for $79 a person to stand and watch fireworks. I mean, there's a demand for this stuff. It's out there. And it's real. The force is strong. And I don't think they really need to worry. I think everything is going to be just fine. They just do what they do, and it's going to be fine.
You credit your parents for getting you into Star Wars?
Yes.
I was thinking it's probably the reason I listen to Peter Frampton. My parents. The other thing Fandango announced, you can now pre-order tickets or order tickets from your Google Home speaker.
Oh, that's funny.
So I have to wonder, they launched this on the same day that they opened the pre-sale tickets on Star Wars Day.
Yeah.
And I have to wonder if 30,000... voice-activated ticket sales helped at all.
I don't know how you would accidentally order tickets for...
I'm thinking there probably aren't too many accidental things. Because if I remember correctly, the way that it works is you tell your speaker assistant, whichever it may be, right now it only works with Google, to order tickets for any given movie. It then opens up... You have to choose a theater.
So what, it opens up on your phone?
So then it opens up... It pushes it to your phone where you can actually buy the tickets.
That I don't think. I think people were seeking that out. They weren't. I don't think.
So then my question would be, how much did it help their advanced ticket sales? Is it just? I imagine it's pretty convenient. I haven't done it, but I can imagine that being a convenience that would make buying tickets super quick and easy.
I mean, I'm not surprised. I mean, that
no, it makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, that these things are supposed to be the centerpiece of your lives now.
It's supposed to be a personal assistant. So
Alexa, Google Home, whatever. What's the Apple one called?
HomePod.
That nobody owns?
Right. With, you know, Siri.
First things. Cool. Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised that they launched it when they launched it. No. You know, they wanted to have a big thing around it and all that. I'm also not surprised. That's a thing you can do now. And my sense is all of those home devices will get that eventually. Because it's 2018 and that's where we're going. I mean, Infinity War didn't have that and they didn't have a problem.
True. Imagine if they did.
Well, I don't think we have to. I'm sure when Avengers 4 goes on sale a year from now, that'll be part of it. And it'll be on more devices.
Disney just keeps breaking their own records. And I have to just think that advanced ticket sales is just another one of those things that we're going to see increase and increase and increase over the years.
Well, yeah, because I think what movie theaters have done is they've traded capacity for people who actually want to be there. The actual physical size of the theater has not changed. What they've done is they've reconfigured it. They've put in bigger seats, but they've had less seats. So they've traded the cattle call for people who are sitting in comfort. And I think their feeling is if people are sitting in comfort, they're more inclined to spend money.
I agree.
Because they're happier. Because they're comfortable.
Yeah.
So
if I'm spending my money, again, I don't go to the theaters, but if I'm spending my money, I don't want to be crammed in there like a sardine.
Right.
You know,
that like, feeling has gone away.
Part of the reason I don't fly is because it's just not comfortable.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So case in point, I went to Infinity War last week and we went to the theater near where I live and sat in air conditioned comfort in a chair that reclines, that is big and leathery and comfortable. And I spent concession money. I got popcorn and soda like everybody else. You know, the movie experience is what it is. It's not for everybody anymore. And because of all the different ways you can entertain yourself, it's not the only way to entertain yourself. And as we talked about last week, there are certain movies that I want to watch at home in the comfort of my own home. And then there are certain movies that I am willing to go out into the public with like-minded individuals and sit and view. And Marvel, DC, and Star Wars tend to be those films. There's others in there too, but those are, tend to be the big ones. So the theater experience is a lot different now. You know, the thing that helps the advanced ticket sales is reserve seats. The fact that now you can go to your local movie theater and not only reserve a seat, it tells you what row and what seat number, like you're buying a sporting ticket, like you're buying a ticket to a sporting event or a concert. Advanced ticket sales are more popular now because there aren't as many seats in the theater anymore. This is just an amateur opinion, obviously.
It makes sense.
Looking around these theaters, because almost every theater now has gone this way. Certainly the big chains like AMC and Regal have gone this way. That when you buy a ticket to a film now, you're telling them what row and what seat number. So you're telling them F22. Advanced seats are going to be a bigger thing because there's less seats to sell. And yes, advanced ticket sale records now are going to be it's the next record to cross, because box office, we've already, you know, we've hit the $1 billion box office now a couple times. That Avengers did it faster is different, but Star Wars has hit it now. I think Fast and the Furious did it last year. So $1 billion is not a threshold we need to cross anymore.
Which is mind-blowing.
Yeah. So the next river to cross, if you will, is how much did I sell advanced? Because it also creates anticipation, right? If you tell people that you have sold $30 million worth of advanced sales, people are going to go, oh my God, this is a thing.
Well, case in point, I mean,
FOMO, fear of missing out.
Exactly. The press around Solo was so atrocious. I maybe saw one billboard like last week. I've seen a trailer. I've seen maybe one or two TV spots,
yeah,
but the frequency is low.
I'm
no
jaded
one talks about it.
I'm jaded because I was in Southern California for a week, and I was at a Disney park. I was at Disneyland.
Oh wow!
So I saw Infinity War posters and Solo posters everywhere. So I'm jaded. I've seen more stuff in the last couple weeks for these films than maybe Sean has, but I think that's part of being in Southern California.
Perhaps.
And being at a Disney and spending 2 days of my week-long sojourn to Southern California at a Disney resort. They're going to put it in front of you, as we've talked about.
As a casual, everyday fan, I haven't seen all that much. Like you said before, Disney wasn't sure if they wanted to put the full weight of the company behind it. I don't think that they did. And yet, the fact that they've sold so much advanced is big. It's a big momentum builder.
Yeah, good for them. I mean, like I said, if this movie can do, because it's also like where it is structurally, like Marvel did them some help by pushing Avengers into April, so that as big as Avengers did, you'd have to think by the end of this month, which is essentially when Solo comes out. I think Solo comes out in 2 or 3 weeks. Some of the Avengers momentum by then will have chilled out.
May 25th, yeah.
So Marvel kind of helped them by giving them an extra week of slowing down. Deadpool didn't do any favors by jumping a week ahead of them. I have some thoughts about Deadpool that I like to get to in a minute because it's all kind of interrelated to this stuff. But I actually think the Avengers being in the theater quicker helped them. The other thing I would say that's going to help them, I think, is I don't think Deadpool is going to do what people think it's going to do.
Again, sequels don't track as well as the first. And
you're 100% right. And when I look at the materials that are out there for Deadpool now, And I think about a lot of the people I know who love Deadpool are not comic book people. I think they're in for a rude awakening.
It's about to get real comic booky.
It's going to get comic booky real quick.
The first movie
when the time traveling half cyborg shows up, it's going to get comic booky up in your grill real quick.
The first movie was a good tongue in cheek
adaptation
of what a comic book movie is.
Yes.
And it was, it does feel like a comic book movie, not for comic book people.
It was very clever.
But I'm sorry, it's going to get weird.
Yes. And, you know, every summer there's always one of those, this movie didn't do what we thought, and wow, this movie really surprised. And by the way, I'm going to see Deadpool as well, and probably opening weekend, because fun fact, my wife loves the first Deadpool movie. So we'll see Deadpool too, I assure you. But just the gut feeling I have in my gut, I think Deadpool 2 is going to be one of those people are going to walk around and go, what happened to Deadpool? One, why didn't it do the business we thought? And number two, why are people walking around saying they're not sure they liked it as much as the first one? And I think the other thing that's going to happen is people are going to say, wow, that Solo was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. Man, I heard nothing but negativity from my buddy who likes Star Wars. He was telling me about how the directors got fired and nothing could work. It would not surprise me if one of the movie stories of the summer is that Deadpool maybe doesn't do what Fox wants and that Disney is much happier with Solo than they expected. And again, I know nothing about Deadpool except the trailers and the commercials. I am excited for Deadpool. I don't want this to turn into, I'm just trying to salvage my franchise here. I'm excited for Deadpool. I'm intrigued by what a sequel to Deadpool looks like. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of people who saw Deadpool because it wasn't entirely comic booky. It was funny. It was quirky. It was weird. It was R-rated. It was irreverent. All the reasons that Deadpool was successful. You're going to add that now to, they are clearly setting up additional films that are tied to X-Force. It's going to get comic booky, and it's going to get what people were maybe trying to avoid the first time around.
I agree. I think they're building an X-Force universe.
Which to then get taken over by Disney. So a lot of this is just Fox has to go about its merry way until they get purchased. And by Fox, I mean the movie studio.
Right.
As everybody knows, Disney has purchased the movie studio, the TV production, and a few other things from Fox. In probably a year or so, Fox will be a branch of Disney. So a lot of this may be moot.
Sure.
My understanding is once Fox purchase happens, the characters you would expect, X-Men, Deadpool, and so forth, are going to become part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Or certainly controlled by Kevin Feige. So a lot of this is just spitting into the wind. They want to get to X-Force. Will they? I don't know. Because Disney may have bought them before they can get to X-Force. Is it in Disney's best interest to keep things? I don't think anybody knows what Disney's going to do with Fox except Disney. They're not saying because they can't because it's not their company. I actually think Disney and Fox is going to get settled long before AT&T and Time Warner get settled.
Yeah, probably.
If for no other reason, and nobody has talked about this, but I'm going to be the first, and I'm going to go politics ever so briefly on this show. Who is the owner of the Fox company right now? Rupert Murdoch. Anybody know Rupert Murdoch's political leanings? I do. He's conservative. Very. Who's the president now? Donald Trump. And I know Murdoch has a relationship with Donald Trump. I think if it gets to that point, the friendship amongst anything, Trump will give Murdoch this one because Murdoch wants to get out of the entertainment business. He wants to just focus on Fox News and Fox Business and the Fox television network, Fox proper. He's selling everything else to Disney. There's no I mean, yeah, you could argue that's one less movie studio and all that, but it's not like, it's not AT&T and DirecTV purchasing Time Warner Cable, which is clearly an antitrust problem. Who in the hell cares if we go from 6 movie studios to 5? Is the American people's lives that much more devastated because there are 5 movie studios instead of 6? I don't think so. I think Disney Fox gets settled far quicker than AT&T Time Warner does. Disney's not buying Fox proper. They can't because they already own the ABC network. You can't own 2 broadcast networks at the same time. They don't want to. It's not part of the deal. You can own as many cable networks as you want. So that Disney already has ESPN and they have Freeform and they have all those channels. The government by law can't care about it. There is no law that says you can only own two cable networks. There's no such thing. So that Disney is going to buy FX and FXX, it doesn't matter. I'll let you in on a little secret, folks. You're going to go to four movie studios fairly soon. Somebody is not making out of this alive. Once Fox gets bought by Disney, the only movie studios left that wouldn't be owned by somebody else would be Disney, Universal, Sony, Warner Brothers, and Paramount. Somebody, either Sony or Paramount, is not staying alive. They're going to get bought by somebody else. I think, and a lot of people think, Paramount and CBS should re-merge. They used to be one company. They're now two. They ought to get back together. And in fact, they're working on it. So that leaves Sony. Huh.
Yeah. That's interesting.
So that leaves Sony. Sony, I have heard there are people in Japan who desperately want to get out of the movie business. They want to focus on the electronics business. So it wouldn't surprise me if in the next year or two, Sony gets sold, either to Universal or to whoever. Maybe somebody we don't know, the Chinese or whatever, but or the some rich Middle Eastern sheik with oil money. But we're going to be quickly going from 6 to 5. It wouldn't surprise me if we're down to 4 in the next year or two, because Sony is looking around, much like Fox was looking around a year ago, and they're saying, we can't put our IP in front of people the way these other companies can. They aren't Disney. They aren't Comcast Universal, who own theme parks and all that stuff. They just aren't. And if the electronics people want out of the movie business, they're going to get out of the movie business. So they're going to get bought by somebody, either Universal or somebody. So I would say about the proposed Disney-Fox deal, I'm not sure the government really has much to stand in the way from. Murdoch is a friend of Donald Trump. Bob Iger is a friend of Donald Trump. Bob Iger being the CEO of the Walt Disney Company. So I just don't see this deal not going through. It may take some time. I don't see it not happening. There's too many people involved who like each other or have a warm relationship with each other to have that happen. I don't think Donald Trump is going to screw over Rupert Murdoch. I just don't. Considering Trump spends most of his time watching Rupert Murdoch's news network. Man watches Fox News relentlessly. He's not screwing over Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch wants out. I'm sure he's told Donald Trump so. This is going to get done. So Fox is going to be owned by Disney. Their entertainment assets are going to be owned by Disney. The X-Men universe, cinematically, including Deadpool, and the Fantastic Four universe are going to come back to the MCU in the next 18 months. I don't know what happens now. From what I understand, Fox is kind of walking around in limbo because they just don't know what's going to happen. My feeling, though, is Deadpool 2 is going to do what people didn't want, which is it's going to be more, I think it's going to look more like a traditional-ish comic book movie with the obvious Deadpool insults and comedy. I don't think it's going to do what people want it to do business-wise. In 2 or 3 weeks on this pod, I could be correcting myself.
I got a message from a listener. I'll keep the name out of it, but he's upset that we didn't refer to Matthew McConaughey's career in episode 1 as the McConaissance.
He's right. He's 100% right.
Yes, you are right.
Yes.
Matthew McConaughey is an enlightenment.
Yes.
To the industry.
Yes.
To the world.
Yes. I would agree.
McConaughey's putting out a whiskey. Did you know this?
Yes, I've heard this.
With Wild Turkey? Is it surprising at all?
Nope.
No.
Seems about right.
Yeah.
Here's the problem with McConaughey now, is that I hate to say it's become a tall tale, but it's just kind of like, oh, Matthew McConaughey did X. Yeah, probably. But I mean, that he's producing his own alcohol? No. No, not a surprise.
Didn't
that it's Wild Turkey, also not a surprise.
Yeah, Wild Turkey's a perfect fit, right? He's reaching that group where there are some actors out there, and we've talked about this, they could do, or you could tell me that they've done or said anything, and I would just believe it.
Yeah. Yep.
Matthew McConaughey is getting there. Bill Murray is one of them.
Bill Murray is 100% there.
I would believe any story you told me about Bill Murray.
Yes.
Without question.
I would say Prince is there in memoriam.
Prince? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
There are just some people who are just so out there and yes. So outlandish. Yeah, I just believe anything.
Sadly, the president has become that now.
Yeah, it just took a turn. For different reasons.
I mean, if somebody said to me, Donald Trump did XYZ, yeah, I'm going to believe it now. But let's get back to the fun and games. Bill Murray is definitely in that scenario.
Yeah.
100%. He's invented that.
I think so.
I mean, we've all heard the various Bill Murray stories, you know, crashing bachelor parties, sneaking up behind people and putting his hands over their eyes, saying nobody will ever believe you, and then disappearing. Like, we've all heard the Bill Murray stories. And that he, you know, and when he does show up, he seems to be like the one man party.
Man, I would hate if Bill, I mean, I love Bill Murray.
Me too.
I would absolutely hate if he crashed something like my wedding, because guess where all the focus goes? Bill Murray is at your wedding.
Yeah, but it's Bill Murray. So see, this is where the Bill Murray thing is. It's like, yeah, but it's Bill Murray at my wedding. You know what I get? I get a photo with Bill Murray.
Yeah, well, hey.
I'm not saying no to that.
Bill Murray, friend of the show.
Oh, I mean, that would be a delight.
One of these days, I'm just like, I just want to be walking down the street of Boston and see Bill Murray.
Sure.
Just like hanging out with one of the homeless people. You know, just like sitting next to them, trying to raise some money for him or something. You know what I mean? Like outside of Walgreens.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Does that sound unbelievable? No, I would believe Bill Murray would do that.
Yes.
I actually don't see many famous people. I've been in and around Boston for almost 10 years. I actually don't see all that many famous people, at least in the Back Bay. I did, however, see Bill Clinton once coming out of the bookstore on Boylston Street. I think
famous people. Yeah, I mean,
Steve Martin frequents
Berkeley.
Yeah.
Well, the banjo thing. I actually saw more famous people when I worked in Cambridge. I used to see John Malkovich all the time.
Oh, God. He's another one. John Malkovich. I would believe anything.
I wouldn't.
Really?
No. He's not playful.
That's really unfortunate.
Funny story. So I worked in Cambridge at a university, starting out. It was my first job out of college. And I had been there about a year. And I went out to lunch and came back very excited and went to my friend and said, "You'll never guess who I just saw." And he said, "Who?" And I said, "John Malkovich." And I was about to say, and I wish I had gone up to him and asked for or shook his hand or whatever. And immediately he pulls me into a side off and says, "Now this kid is from Cambridge." He says to me, "Look, I'm going to tell you something about John Malkovich. Don't talk to him. Don't look at him. Don't acknowledge his existence. He will get mad and he is not above swearing at you." So no. And so from there, that point on, anytime I saw Malkovich, which was not often, but I saw it a couple times a year, I barely acknowledged his existence because I didn't want to be MF'd on the streets of Cambridge, which I'm told he has done to people. So do I believe any John Malkovich story? No, not in the Bill Murray sense. Do I believe John Malkovich swears at you if you acknowledge him? Yes. He did not look like a happy camper.
He's not from the area, but he lives around here.
No, yeah, he has a place in Cambridge, I think. I saw Steven Tyler a few times. He's not John Malkovich. I saw Peter Wolf from the Jay Giles Band a few times because Peter Wolf's from Cambridge.
Yep.
Again, Peter Wolf.
Apparently Cambridge is the place to be.
Peter Wolf is happy if you walk up to him and say, you know, "You're Peter Wolf." But I've seen Peter Wolf a few times. I've seen Steven Tyler a few times. In terms of brush with celebrity, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see too many famous people. I met John McCain once when I was in college, when he was running for president the first time. I mean, I physically met him. We were introduced. He was speaking to my politics class I was in at the time. So he met us after class. So it was right when he was running the first time.
Did you hear the statement he put out?
John McCain, about barring Donald Trump from his funeral, but inviting Barack Obama and George W. Bush to be eulogists at his funeral?
Yeah.
I read it.
John McCain, friend of the show.
Yeah, 100%. That made my day.
Yeah, same. And the fact that he regrets choosing Sarah Palin as a running mate is hilarious.
There was a lot in there. You know, it clearly he's not well.
Yeah, which is sad.
Which is sad. I mean, cancer is brutal. Man, this has taken a dark turn.
But I know. He seems like he's in a good place, though.
He seems like he's surrounded by family and friends who love him, which is, I think, all you can ask for when you're in the condition it seems like the senator is in. I don't want to say these are the last days, but it sure sounds like somebody who understands their own mortality. And it seems like they're aware that their mortality is approaching.
And so, he seems comfortable with that.
Yes. It seems like there are quite a lot of people in this world who love him, which is great. And that sounds really like candy-ish, I know, just stupid. But, you know, the stuff with him and Joe Biden was touching in that article. It seems like they have a real legitimate friendship.
Yeah.
Two people politically different, although I don't think they're that different, but politically different, but to have that kind of close relationship, I think is nice.
I feel like they're marketed differently.
I would also say, is anybody surprised that Joe Biden is a kind, decent man? No. So
what, Uncle Joe?
Uncle Joe.
No.
He, I like the former vice president. I always have. I think the world of Joe Biden, and he seems like a kind, good, decent man. So that he and McCain have a nice relationship. That article was more warm. But again, I probably could go to John McCain's funeral and he can't.
Can I go back to Matthew McConaughey for a second?
We've gone from John McCain dying to Matthew McConaughey.
I know.
The world has turned this podcast off.
No, I don't think so. I think last time we talked about putting Matthew McConaughey in anything.
Yes.
We didn't talk too much about the Dark Universe.
Do we have to?
I want to for just a second.
Are you talking about Universal's Monster Universe?
I am talking about Universal Studios.
You know that's Monster dead, Universe. Right?
Yes, I know it's dead, but let's pretend for a second that it's not.
And Tom Cruise killed it.
Tom Cruise killed it?
Well, The Mummy made $5.
Oh, right. This was part of that. Yeah.
That was the launching pad. That garbage mummy movie he made was supposed to be the launching pad for the Dark Universe. I think the Dark Universe is dead.
What was their plan for the Dark Universe? The Mummy?
Bride of Frankenstein.
Okay.
The Invisible Man, which was going to be Johnny Depp.
All things you want, guys.
Bride of Frankenstein was going to be Angelina Jolie, and then Javier Bardem is Frankenstein's monster. So Depp was going to be the Invisible Man. I believe Benicio del Toro, they talked to him about the werewolf or the wolfman.
Oh, my God.
And I believe one of the other things was going to be Creature from the Black Lagoon, which, believe it or not, Scarlett Johansson wanted to do Creature from the Black Lagoon. This is just rumors. I mean, this is what I had kind of... And they were working on Dracula.
Dracula.
And Van Helsing. Yep. And Van Helsing would be a woman. There'd be a woman Van Helsing.
Which I have to take credit for. I have wanted a Van Helsing
this
reboot.
This is true. You have wanted a female Van Helsing.
For a very long time, and I wanted the lead to be a female lead.
Yes.
Sci-fi has done it, unfortunately.
Yes.
They have done it.
They took our idea.
They took it from me. I was watching, I watched a few episodes of it, and it's not bad. I'll say it's not good, but it's not bad. Bad.
Isn't that kind of the Sci-Fi Network?
That's kind of the Sci-Fi.
That's their tagline, right? It's not good. It's not bad. It's the Sci-Fi Network.
It's sci-fi. Yeah, it feels more like, what was that movie? 30 Days of Night?
Okay.
Josh Hartnett. The vampires are, it's post-vampire apocalypse.
Great.
Right? So
super.
It feels more like a zombie thing. Ugh. But these zombies don't, you know, eat your brains. They suck your blood.
Sweet.
So again, it's not great. It's not bad. But they took my idea.
Yeah,
and
did.
that's what gets me.
They
took a female lead and rebooted Van Helsing.
Yeah.
I wish it had been done better because I feel like that's money.
You know how you do it better? First of all, don't put it on Sci-Fi.
Fair enough.
Not to diss Sci-Fi Network, but I mean, come on, folks.
The other thing I wanted as part of that Dark Universe we've talked about, because Dracula was part of it, is having Matthew McConaughey
I knew you were gonna come
star
around
in
As Dracula
in the Dark Universe.
Yeah, we did talk about this.
But like a modernized, high-rise dwelling.
The way we described it was his character from Wolf of Wall Street, but basically Dracula.
Kind of, but yeah, but a vampire.
Yeah. You know,
he's sharp-dressed. Standing in front of a high-rise office building.
What was the movie with Christian Bale where he was the killer, but he was in the suit?
American Psycho?
American Psycho. So we've basically made American Psycho meets Wolf of Wall Street meets Dracula.
Yeah, but with Matthew McConaughey, which
Sweet.
Is what's going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So to give people some context, so what this podcast came out of the fact that Sean and I commute to and from work together Monday through Friday. As you can imagine, if you live in any major metropolitan area, but certainly greater Boston, Sean and I have a lot of time to kill, both in the morning and the afternoon. So oftentimes, to amuse ourselves, we talk about movie or TV show ideas that we have and potential casting of these events. So I have heard Sean's Dracula Matthew McConaughey pitch quite a bit. There's a couple that I have thrown Sean's way. First of all, in a serious note, CBS took my idea because they are currently rebooting Magnum PI for next fall.
This was definitely your idea. Yeah.
I have wanted a Magnum PI reboot since I don't know when. But so CBS took my serious idea, which was to reboot Magnum PI. The other idea I desperately wanted to do, but have now found out, I think it's a fruitless one because of Sammy Hagar.
Sammy Hagar
has a TV show on Access Television. I know what you're thinking. What in the hell is Access Television? Well, dig deep into your cable. If you have a cable package still, Access is there. And it's called Sammy Hagar's Rock and Roll Road Trip. He drives across the country. I assume he eats food. He meets interesting people. I wanted to do that show, but with Paul Stanley from Kiss and give everybody the full Paul Stanley, the yelling, you know, the how's everybody doing? I wanted the full Paul Stanley experience. But Sammy Hagar has taken that from us as much as he's taken Van Halen. So it's not enough that he took Van Halen from us. He took my idea about taking Paul Stanley on the road and eating food.
Van Halen with Sammy Hagar, that's your favorite version of Van Halen. You prefer the Sammy Hagar.
Here's what I'd say. I like Van Halen in all forms. Save Gary Cherone. My point about Van Halen was you can't say Sammy Hagar was a failure. He sold more records.
Yeah.
Commercially, they were a bigger deal with Sammy Hagar. Yet my favorite Van Halen song is Panama, so do that.
It's a great song.
It is. So he took my Paul Stanley idea. Paul so Stanley now Paul eats. Stanley and I are deprived of a TV show.
Paul Stanley, friend of the show.
Please call. I take Paul Stanley's call.
What was it? Were we going to put it on the Travel Network?
Yeah, it was either the Food Network or the Travel Channel.
Yeah.
Paul Stanley Eats. We're going to drive around and maybe have him try to break some food eating records like, you know, most chicken wings. Kind of like a man versus food, but with Paul Stanley from Kiss. Sans makeup. I mean, this is not ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, that's just silly.
Yeah. So I desperately wanted to do that. I still think we could. I have yet to watch Sammy Hagar's Rock and Roll Road Trip because, you know, I have standards. Not many, but I have them.
I just imagine a different version of Guy Fieri's show.
Oh, God, I can't. What, the, my thing or
the Sammy Hagar? The two of them are just like, they're two peas in a pod, I feel like. Sammy Hagar and Guy Fieri. I can't with them, either of them. Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, I think it was. Yep.
Yeah, that's Fieri's show.
Hard pass.
Yeah, it's not great. But because of Sammy Hagar, Paul Stanley and I have been deprived of a TV show.
Yeah, so I think
thanks.
So.
Thanks, Sammy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so thanks, Access, and thanks, Sci-Fi, for stealing our ideas straight from our brains.
Yep. So what we're talking about here, folks...
Unless my car is bugged.
Yeah, well...
Maybe the Jeep is
the
bugged.
The phones are listening. I'm not joking. I was in California.
Oh, I know.
I was in California a couple weeks ago, as Sean knows, and we were in Palm Springs. My wife, myself, and friends, we were celebrating a friend's birthday, and I wanted to find Frank Sinatra's house for a couple obvious reasons. One, I'm Italian. Two, I like Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
And three, who doesn't want to see a big giant house that Frank Sinatra owned in the middle of the desert? So I'm trying to see if the public can actually get to this or, you know, somebody owns it or whatever. As it turns out, it's like a museum, but there's no public tour. They rent it out to like big groups for parties, like VIP type parties and stuff. But I'm saying this out loud. I have my phone in my hand. I go to my Google app to type it in, and guess what comes up? As soon as I hit the search feature in Google, Frank Sinatra House, Palm Springs. So the phones are listening. So it's quite possible Sammy Hagar didn't bug us, but the phones are listening. So who knows? I liked your female Van Helsing idea. I liked. I think we wanted her in the Dracula movie with Matthew McConaughey, if memory serves.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a dark universe, why not?
I think we were trying to figure out the female actress that would counterbalance McConaughey well. I can't remember if we ever got there or not.
I don't think we did.
No, my first answer is going to be Jennifer Lawrence because I want Jennifer Lawrence in everything.
She's the female version of your Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah, I think the world of J-Lo. I really do. I think she's funny. She's talented. I think she's going to have a hell of a career. I'd see her in just about anything.
The sci-fi casting for Van Helsing, Kelly Overton.
I have no idea who that is.
No idea either. I really don't know anything about her. She was in True Blood.
Okay.
I guess, which I never watched up until maybe the last season.
Never watched True Blood.
So she's sticking with the vampire theme, I guess. But I don't know who she was in that show. No idea.
Yeah.
Let's see. Anything else? No. Stephen King's Desperation.
Sure. I don't know what that is.
The Collective. Like,
yeah.
The Ring 2. Oh, we all know how well that did. Like,
those are some great IMDb credits.
Like, I'm sorry to say this, but I feel like she's peaking right now.
With the sci-fi version of Van Helsing?
With the sci-fi version of Van Helsing.
Well, okay. Peak is an interesting word.
I wouldn't put her in our movie.
No. I'm going to come back to Jennifer Lawrence.
What was the movie she was just in? Red Sparrow?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
No.
Did you plan on seeing it?
No. I'll see it when it's on cable.
Yeah.
That's the perfect 9 at night, Saturday night HBO movie.
There you go.
That you've seen in parts for the last week. You saw the first half on Monday. You saw the second half on Tuesday. Now it's Saturday and you're going, geez, I'd love to finish that Red Sparrow movie.
It's
going to
be one of those movies I buy on Black Friday, I think.
In the cornflake aisle, on sale for $8.99.
That's right.
It's just a short 6 months away.
I know. I'm already making my list.
Please stop. There's a few things we need to get through. Memorial Day, July 4th, Labor Day, my birthday, Mother's Day, which is a week from today.
Yeah.
Could we have summer? Here's what I'm asking.
Before I don't know. It feels like we're in summer now.
Can we have summer? And then can I go to Disney World after that? Because I go to Disney at the beginning of November. After that, let's talk about Black Friday. Go right ahead. It's May. I'm not ready to talk about Christmas. I'm simply not ready to talk about Christmas.
I can't blame you.
The listeners will agree with me. This will bear out.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a couple of things. Deadpool comes out on my birthday.
You haven't seen Solo yet, for God's sake.
Yeah. Apparently a lot of people are going to.
I want to see Jurassic World, Sean. I want Jeff Goldblum back in our lives as Ian Malcolm.
I feel like Jeff Goldblum is another one of those people.
I ask for so little.
I would believe anything. He seems like an all around fun guy.
I love Jeff Goldblum. Great friend of the show, Jeff Goldblum.
Absolutely.
Can I see Jurassic World 2 so I can see Jeff Goldblum back in our lives as Ian Malcolm? That's happening before your little Black Friday shopping spree.
Spoiler with Jurassic World 2, the dinosaurs always get out.
Life finds a way.
The dinosaurs always get out.
Well, Jeff Goldblum will tell you. I mean, he knows. Yeah, they know this. We're not telling them things they don't know. The whole point is that if it's no movie if the dinosaurs just stay. What is dinner with Andre with dinosaurs? We'll sit around and have a dinner party and talk about our lives.
Take some selfies with dinosaurs.
Jesus. What a terrible movie that is. Jurassic World, where nothing happened. What is this?
It's like your everyday zoo experience.
Yeah, what is We Bought a Zoo? Was Cameron Crowe directing Jurassic World 2? Come on. The dinosaurs get out. Listen, folks. If you think I'm going to Jurassic World 2 in June and you don't think I know the dinosaurs get off the island, I don't know what we're doing here. Of course the dinosaurs get off the island. I will also just say for the record, I know nothing about this movie. I'm spoiler free on Jurassic World. I know who's in it based on trailers and stuff.
Same.
I'll tell you, of course they get off the damn island. That's the whole point. What are we doing here unless the dinosaurs get off the island? Come on. I don't know what he's talking about. He's talking about some weird European cinema film where we'd all just sit around and hang out with the dinosaurs. We're going to invariably eat you anyway. Come on. Hey, Wanted by None listeners, just a quick break in the action. We'll get back to the show in just a minute. But first, we wanted to tell you about a great band and great friends of the show, Crooked Horse. We assure you that you have not heard anything like Crooked Horse's unique combination of edgy lyrics and folksy musical stylings. Check out their self-titled debut album on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and their own website, crookedhorse.bandcamp.com. Connect with Crooked Horse on social media through the aforementioned website, on Facebook at facebook.com/crookedhorse, and on Instagram at Crooked Horse Band. And now, back to the show.
I don't plan to bring any children to the taping of this podcast.
Oh, no. That would be a very bad idea.
I'm sure small children are fully capable of seeking out and listening to podcasts on their own because they are far more advanced beings than either of us.
Well, my 2-year-old niece bought my mother sneakers with her phone the other day. So
that's incredible.
And my mom now had to take the one touch ordering off of Amazon because my niece, her grandchild, hit the button because she likes hitting buttons and she likes my mom's phone. And sure enough, a couple days later, some sneakers showed up that my mom didn't order.
Were they the right size?
Oh, yeah. It was just she reordered what she had already ordered.
Amazing.
Yeah. So my mom had to take the one touch ordering off.
I don't do the one touch ordering. It still makes me very nervous.
Oh, it makes me horribly. I had to turn it off. It makes me nervous, too.
Same reason I have the Echo, the Amazon Echo. I don't order a damn thing on it. Because it makes me super nervous that what's going to show up at my house is not what I want.
Yeah, I've the Echo's in the back, buried, so it can't hear anything.
I had someone ask me about this because I have both the Echo and
the Google Home,
and someone asked me what the difference is between the two. And I mean they're both pretty similar. I mean all of these things are pretty similar in terms of their assistant capabilities. But what it comes down to is that you have two companies, Amazon, Google. One. Amazon designed a product to help you buy things.
Yes.
The Echo is there to help you buy things on Amazon.
It's a personal shopper.
Google is a search tool.
Yes.
First and foremost. Google, yes, you can buy things on Google Home. You know what it defaults to? Google Express. How many subscribers does Google Express have?
2.
Maybe. I don't know.
I didn't even know Google Express was a thing until 2 minutes ago.
Exactly. You can buy things on Google Express. But wouldn't you rather buy it on Amazon?
Yes.
Yeah.
My wife has Amazon Prime. Of course I would.
Exactly. And Google Express is the same deal. 2-day.
Really?
Yeah. Sometimes same day. Area restrictive, of course. But
great.
My point being, if you're looking to search for things, buy a Google Home. If you're looking to buy things, get an Echo.
God
it's not rocket science.
God forbid I should want to do both.
Well, here's the thing. You would think that Echo would be just as good as searching for things. It is horrible.
Oh, with the Amazon Echo?
Yeah, the Amazon Echo is horrible at searching for
things. And I'm sure the Google Home is a horrible shopper.
It is. Because again, it defaults to Google Express.
God forbid, but you should do both.
No. You have two different companies. They're aiming to do two different things.
Sure seems that way.
And then there's the HomePod.
Yeah. Do either of us know anyone who has one of those?
No.
I have Apple products all over the place. I don't want one.
Yeah, my wife is all in on the Apple. We don't have a HomePod. I won't buy one.
Do you
one.
Need a third? I mean, you've got two.
I know. Do I need? I know. We have the Google Home Mini. Uh-huh. Which I actually got for free
with my phone
because I'm deeply ingrained in the Google ecosystem. But we have the Echo. Uh-huh. We have the failed Echo Tap.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I don't even know if they sell them anymore.
Isn't that called the Echo Dot now?
No, we have one of those too, though.
What?
And then we have the Echo Spot.
I don't know what any of
this
means.
So let me break this down to you. Everyone knows what the Amazon Echo is. The cylindrical tower looking thing.
That's spying on us for the government.
Yeah, exactly. The Amazon Dot.
It's like the hockey puck.
Came out around the same time. It's like the hockey puck. They should have called it the Echo Puck.
And that would have been cool.
Yeah. That's what I call it. It's a puck.
Get a sponsorship with the NHL.
Boom, you know?
This is what we do on Wanted by None. We're problem solvers. Amazon, call us.
So the Echo Dot is a puck. The Echo Spot is a sort of a semi-spherical
unit. You understand I have a headache, right? I have a massive headache now.
My head hurts. It's like a sphere with a screen.
Oh, for sake.
So it has a flat surface and it has a screen. It's a tiny little circle.
What is the point of that?
It's, you know, it's an end table thing.
Sure.
You use it mostly
for... It really ties the room together, does it not?
You know what? It has a screen so you can see weather on it. It's an alarm clock. I mean, let me simplify this. The Echo Spot is an alarm clock.
Right.
The Echo Tap... is another cylindrical unit with a base that it detaches from, and you can take it with you. It has a button on it, which you tap to talk to it. So that is more of the let's play music outside kind of thing.
Oh, dear Lord.
None of these things are great.
No.
I don't know what else to say, but I have them all.
Yeah, sure do. When the robot revolution starts, it will start in Sean's living room.
And when it all comes down to it, I use the Google Assistant on my phone.
I do most everything through my phone.
Because it's 2018. It's in my pocket. Yeah. It's always with me. And it
works.
Is the best and most intuitive assistant that I've found.
Yeah, because you know what? The Google search app is great. I mean, it told me where Frank Sinatra's house was before I even wanted it to. But the Google app is great for my iPhone. The Amazon app works fine. The Echo was a wedding gift, and we thank them all for what they've done for us. But we don't use it.
We use it to play music.
Yeah, when we're entertaining, we break out the Echo to play music. None of us buy things through it.
No, because I can't see what I'm buying.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Problems. Listen, I feel like I'm getting old here, but I don't...
Right before my eyes.
I don't trust that technology thing to buy things for me that I can't see. I can't even see it. How do I know what it's going to buy? And maybe it works differently than that. But if I just tell it I want sneakers, does it order the sneakers I want? Probably not.
I think you have to be specific, right?
Yeah, but then how specific do I have to be? Do I have to be so specific that you order... You know, sometimes those product titles on Amazon are like ridiculously long and descriptive.
Very dumb.
Do I have to read or speak the entire thing to order something specific?
I've never ordered item one off the Echo, so I have no idea. Nor will I. I don't have Prime, so it does make sense.
If I ever go to a theater to see a movie, I will try to use Fandango's advanced ticket Google ordering. Thing.
Good for you.
And I'll let you know how that goes.
We should talk about that next when that happens. Yeah, we should talk about it. I'd love to know how it worked.
Yeah. So I'll see you in like 3 years when I go to the movies next.
Sweet. It's not like we have a podcast where we could talk about this or anything. Cool.
Movies. Big fan.
Up top. That sounds like you have four devices, none of which are useful to your life and none of them work.
Yeah. So the
Google seems to be doing what you want it to.
Yeah. And maybe it's bias. I don't know.
But you have three or four Amazon devices, and none of them seem to do what you want them to do.
Well, they all theoretically do the same thing.
That's the other thing. Why do you have four of them that all do the one? You could take the Echo around with you.
They all theoretically do the same thing. The Echo proper is in our living room. Uh-huh. That's our music player. The Echo Dot or Puck is in our kitchen. That's the kitchen timer. Because the speaker on that thing is horrible. It's not like I can use it as a music player. Anyway, the Tap is docked in our bedroom, but again, you can take it around anywhere.
Why do you have that?
That is another music player.
Okay.
And then the Spot, which is the end table alarm clock.
Okay.
But theoretically, all of these things do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, they do. I'm deeply confused.
I have found specific purposes for each one.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I guess good.
I don't know.
Seems like you have a very fancy end table alarm clock.
It's just more crap connected to my Wi-Fi, which I overpay for.
For God's sake, I don't know how your wireless network doesn't collapse in on itself.
Oh, it's awful.
Like it's the protection grid from Ghostbusters.
It's terrible, yeah.
I think you need 6 or 7 more devices there.
Please.
Is your Switch hooked up to your network when it's home?
I plug in as many things as I can. The Switch does not have that option. So yes, it is connected to my network.
I'm just trying to see if we can make this thing go up like the production grid in Ghostbusters.
My wife and I bought a smart TV recently over the past year or so.
Yeah.
And another Black Friday find. And we were messing around with the settings one day, and she noticed that it has wireless capabilities.
Yeah.
So that you can connect it to the Wi-Fi. I shut that down. We are hardwiring this thing in because I don't need another goddamn thing connected to the Wi-Fi network.
Word.
I connect as much as I can to my modem. Because again, my internet sucks. I mean, Xfinity, Comcast, and it's terrible. Ugh. It's absolutely horrible. I grossly overpay for it. And I know this, and yet here I am. But I won't upgrade to Verizon Fios, which is clearly a better service.
I have Fios.
With, you know, feelings about Verizon as a company aside, it is clearly a better service.
Well, let's be clear. America in 2018, the two companies people hate most in their lives, cable company, phone company.
Yeah.
And I don't mean Apple or Google or Samsung. I mean AT&T, Verizon, or T-Mobile and Sprint. People actively hate those companies.
Yeah. I mean, every year they do.
Comcast was voted the most hated company in America. America, a country that makes weapons and all kinds of stuff. Even saying all that, we make missiles and planes and bombs and guns. The most hated company is Comcast.
How does that make you feel, Comcast? And that is awful.
I'm sure right behind it are AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint.
Every year they have those online polls or surveys or whatever to see who's the most hated company in America. And it's either Comcast or Verizon.
Yeah. Verizon sucks. Fios sucks less than Xfinity. That's why I have Fios.
Yeah. The reason I won't do that is because I have a router. My own router. I have my own modem. Both are fully capable of handling Verizon's Fios network.
Except you have to get their modem and their router.
Except they won't support it. because it's Verizon and they want you to either buy or rent their modem, which I will not do.
You can see it to your left.
It's stunning, but I will not do it.
That's truly a breathtaking piece of black plastic.
I have a hardware that can run your service, but I won't give you the satisfaction of taking that extra, what is it, 30, 40 bucks a month or $300 payment to buy the damn thing, which what am I going to do? Only use it on your, like, heaven forbid I ever switch internet providers again. Like, I'm not doing that. So here I am with my grossly overpriced,
overtaxed Wi-Fi.
Comcast, Xfinity, garbage network.
Because you get your TV through DirecTV.
I do, which I like. I like DirecTV.
Yeah, my TV and my internet are all, I get everything through Fios.
Yes, that's the other thing. I don't bundle either.
Oh, I bundle.
Because I like DirecTV.
I got a landline phone in there I'd like to sell you.
Oh, God.
It comes with it. I don't know what to tell you. Apparently, my business is out of date. Really? My business listing is out of date, apparently. It's good to know.
Fantastic.
Right? That's all the calls we get there. I call my parents. See, the landline phone actually does come in handy in here. The cell service in here is not great all the time. So it's actually useful. We order takeout food. I call my parents, and my wife occasionally calls my in-laws. Landline. But if I remove the landline, the whole bundle collapses. So, whoop, there it is.
There it is.
Wow, we've just become one tech podcast in 5 seconds.
Tell me about it.
We've shot the gamut on this one.
From movies to politics to
I got to tell you, folks, tech. If we haven't landed on a subject that you like in episode 2, I don't know. We've done it all here. Anything you want to say in closing? I think we've reached a good wrap-up point, don't you?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Yeah. We appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for sticking in there for this hodgepodge of an episode. Again, we're messing around with format a little bit. But if you liked it, you want to share your thoughts, or you didn't, yeah. If you liked it or you didn't, and want to share your thoughts on anything we talked about in this episode, and there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
You can find us on Facebook, Instagram. Yes, Instagram. Our Instaban has been lifted.
Woohoo!
Twitter at WantedByNonePod. You can also email us, WantedByNoneShow@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe. Leave a review on iTunes.
Yeah, get your 5-star reviews. We would love your 5-star reviews.
You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play, a couple other platforms. So pretty much anywhere you want to listen to podcasts, hopefully you will make us a part of your podcasting experience.
Go to Kindle and buy Smashing by our good friend M. Constantine, and go check out Crooked Horse.
Yeah.
I said the name right.
Yeah. Crooked Horse. Bring money. No, we don't actually get any money.
No, we get no money out of this. All right. So we will see you next time on Wanted by None. Thanks for listening.